Welcome back to a new episode of Little Geek Lost. I am doing another 90s mixtape type style podcast. This week I have Mixtape Minx from the podcast Cooter and Minx on the show, and we talk about songs that we would put on a mixtape.
Oh, you've done a mixtape one before.
Yes.
Second one.
Yes.
I had to choose mixtape.
Well, because you're Mixtape Minx, right?
And, you know, like, mixtapes are my brand.
Exactly. I mean, it's easy to be like, you know, I'm just going to pick a genre or whatever, but at least with mixtape, you can get everything.
Exactly.
You can hit a little bit of it all.
But see, the way I do it, I think of a mixtape, like, sometimes I think of a mixtape as maybe, like, you're putting all these songs on a mixtape so that people can hear them. Like, it's just like, I hear, listen to this thing.
Yeah.
But then a lot of mixtapes have themes. Like, you make a mixtape for the person you have a crush on.
Yeah.
Or a breakup mixtape. Those are fun.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, there's like the good old road trip one.
Yeah, the road trip mixtape. Oh, man, I miss those.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I was just talking on the last one I did, too, but how, you know, finding, like, old CDs and they're just labeled, like, June, you know, 1999, and it's like, I have no idea what's on that, because it's just, like, the month and the year. I'm like, what was I listening to then? Because you know, get to the point where, like, I'm not going to, like, list everything that's on here anymore.
Exactly. Just write the time, and that's it. Yeah. I've so many of those.
Or it'd be like, Mandy's Mix 14.
Yeah, I've got some that just say stuff on them.
Yeah.
Just, like, stuff.
Yeah, just chuck something on it to label it, and we're good to go.
I'm lazy. Stuff. And then I have another one that's called Other Stuff.
More Stuff.
Very, very creative with those names.
Different stuff. So we each went through and picked a handful of songs. I figured seven's better than five.
Yeah.
Or something different.
Favorite number is nine, but that's a lot.
Well, the thing, though, with, like, the 90s, it's really easy to, I mean, it's easy to just, like, pick a giant list.
Yeah.
Like, narrowing it down is kind of hard, and, like, you know, I did a mixtape one, and then I'm like, I could pick more songs, so it's kind of easy to keep doing mixtape ones, because I could just keep filling them up with songs.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a playlist that I named under my Spotify playlist, and it's 23 songs. Not all of the ones I wanted to put on there, but I was like, that's enough. I need to stop.
Yeah. Well, and I was going through it because I have a few, like, ones that I follow on Spotify where it's like, you know, 90s rock renaissance and 90s this and 90s that. And I'm just like, oh, man. Like, how do I narrow it down? So it's kind of nice being able to do a few different mixtape ones because then I can just keep adding to them.
Exactly. And that's kind of like, that's approximately how many songs would be on each side of a tape.
Yeah. Yeah, probably about there.
Depending on the length of the song.
Yep. I remember, like, making tapes and how annoying it was where, like, you're recording and then, like, it get to the end of the tape and be, like, halfway through the song.
So yes.
I'm like, fuck, got to flip it over and start the song again on the side.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I've got to rewind, record silence.
Yep.
And then flip it up. Because I was very particular about my tapes. I didn't want half of the song on the back.
I know, it was, like, so frustrating. We're like, damn it, now I gotta redo it. Just so it fits properly.
Yeah, did you ever figure out how to get tapes, like, when you'd get really shitty tapes? And did you know that you could just, like, tape over the tab?
Yeah, I have a few of those ones where I, like, taped over the stuff, and then I forgot about it. And I'd be like, oh, I'll go listen to this, and it's, like, completely not what's supposed to be on there.
Yeah. Well, my stepdad would get them back in the old days when he would buy cars. He wouldn't get CDs. He would get cassette tapes. It'd be like the Ford cassette tape to show you how great Ford's sound system is. So he would have a ton of those, and I'd just be like, give them to me. I need to sit here and record things on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. What I remember doing, too, is, like, you know, like, when CDs were first coming out and stuff, I'd go to, like, the library, actually, and take, like, CDs out from the library and just go home and, like, record all the good songs from them.
Yeah. The library is a wonderful place.
Yep. Good way to find music. Well, and they had, like good stuff. Like, I get, like, your CDs and stuff from the library.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if they have that kind of thing so much anymore. I think libraries just aren't quite as well-run as they used to be.
I was thinking about that, like, the other day. Like, I miss that. Like, just being, like, dropped off and, like, spending the afternoon at the library. And, you know, me and my friend just go, like, looking up different things and wandering through the aisles and, you know, looking up stuff in, like, encyclopedias or just looking up just, like, different random books and hanging out there all day.
It's in the dictionary and giggling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Finding, like, the weird, like, said sections and stuff. We're like, oh, look at this.
They drew a penis. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Just sitting in the aisles, like, giggling.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never did that.
Like, I mean, it's, you know, you have the internet now. It's kind of nice to have everything right at, you know. Right your fingertips out on your phone, just googling whatever, but it was just kind of cool being, like, you know, hanging out at the library all afternoon.
There's always the smell of the library, like, you know, old musty book smell that is very precious to me.
Well, and there's just something about, like, holding, like, the physical book in your hand versus, like, reading it on a screen.
Definitely, yeah, turning those pages and like I said, the smell of the book, like, feeling the print and the roughness of the pages and looking at the covers and, I love books.
I have a real problem where I buy books and then I don't end up reading them. I just keep buying them.
Yeah, I have about 5 sitting on my bookshelf. Like, the ones I don't read, I don't put on the bookshelf yet. Like, you know, standing up, I put them sideways on the bookshelf so I know I haven't read it. I've got, like, 2 shelves with just books all the way up.
Yeah.
It's books or it's, like, graphic novels, comics, you know, that I'm going to read this. Yeah. I will read, but just not right this second.
Yeah, exactly. No problem, like, going to the used bookstore and be like, oh, look at all these books I'm going to buy for cheap, and then I just never read them. Then every time I go to, like, every time we move, it's just finding all these books. I'm like, man, why do I have all these books?
I haven't even read this.
Yeah.
When I moved, I actually got rid of books. It was really hard for me.
I bet.
But I was like, man, I've read this once and I'm not going to read it again.
Yeah.
I need to let it go. And I went to this used bookstore called Mr. K's. Asheville and just brought them. They gave me like $190 worth of credit for all of these books.
You're like, but I don't want to buy more books.
Well, it was like, you can either give you cash or credit. And I was like, credit, because I know I'm going to do this again. I'll just get things I haven't read yet.
Yep. So I used to go to the library. I was still doing that. God, probably when I was in college, taking books out from the library. I remember when, this is funny, we're talking about books now.
I know.
When I took the Da Vinci Code when it first came out, and the library would have, like, their, you know, the wait lists or whatever when new things came out. So instead of getting it for the normal 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, you could only have it for a week because it was, like, a hot ticket item. So I remember getting it, and I only had it for a week. So I had, like, a week to, like, burn through the whole Da Vinci Code and, like, get it read before I had to bring it back.
And, like, when the last Harry Potter book came out, I read it in a day.
Yeah.
I stayed up until 4 a.m. to make sure I was done with it. Like, I could not go to sleep until I was done. So, yeah, I'm one of those people that read stuff, too. And back when I first started dating this one person, he would let me borrow books. And he had this, like, whole series, and he would bring me one book, and I would be done with it in, like, a day. And he'd be like, you need to take your time on these. I don't have time to bring you another one. I was like, I need it. Give it to me.
It's like drugs. I need another hit.
Start scratching, you know.
Yeah. Got any more of those books? Well, we're also here to talk about songs.
Yeah.
Let's dig into our songs. So, We will start with your first pick.
Okay.
Nearly Lost You by Screaming Trees.
Yes.
And I have to say, like, I kind of thought I knew what it was, and then I listened to it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I totally know it. And it's one of those ones where as soon as you hear it, you're like, that is exactly like a 90s song.
That is. That is quintessential 90s song, and it's probably one of my favorite. Like, yeah, it's probably one of my favorite 90s songs. I just really like it, and I really like the Screamies. They're a fun, like, grunge band.
Yeah.
Oh, they're from Seattle. Surprise!
Yeah, there you go.
It's like garage rock and psychedelic and, you know, the punk. Yeah. It's like a mixture of everything, but it was very, very 90s.
Yeah,
and
you listen to, like, the guitar and stuff, and you're like, yep.
I nearly lost you there. Yeah, that whole... And actually, I think that's their top played song on Spotify.
Oh, probably.
Surprise. Surprise. And I love grunge, and I love punk, and 90s rock, so it's perfect. It's perfect.
It's very fitting.
I love the lyrics. That's one thing I really pay attention to is lyrics, so just it hits home with me. And I don't know if you noticed, but I kind of went with a, like, love playlist, like, or mixtape. My theme is more like, this is something I would give to my crush.
Yeah, I kind of just picked, like, 90 songs that I just thought of. I was like, oh, this one, and then this one, and then this one.
Yeah. I kind of went with the, like, crush. Because, I don't know, that's... For mixtapes with me, that's, like, the main thing. Like, if you make a mixtape for somebody, you really like them.
Well, that's the thing that, like, kids today are missing out, right? Because, yeah, you can make playlists and whatever, but it's not the same as, like, sitting there and going through, like, your tape collection or your CD collection and, okay, this song, and then finding, like, the perfect song and, like, the perfect ones to put together to put on the thing, like, and spending, you know, up all night recording stuff and putting it in the right order. Like, going through all that effort.
Making sure it flows. Like, now you can make a playlist and just hit shuffle. Yeah. It doesn't flow.
Yeah, exactly.
Curating it, basically. You're curating this collection of music for a certain person.
Yeah, the time and the effort and the heart that it took to, like, put into that.
Yeah. Like, that's... If anybody ever wanted to, like, make me swoon, they would just want to give me a mixtape, and I would just be like, oh my god! You're so sweet.
I know. I miss that.
Yeah. Totally. And you can draw designs on it too, you know? Yeah. Like, you get the ones with the sleeves and you can draw stuff on it and put little hearts over things. And
exactly. Write out notes and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There's just really something wonderful about a mixtape, and it's sad that. Don't do it anymore.
I know. See, millennials, they want to be like hipsters about stuff. They should get back into that.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, in Asheville, that's kind of been a thing. Like, starting up here. So, I think it's going in that direction again.
I can see that. So, the one that I picked for the first one of mine was El Scorcho by Weezer. And... coming off of doing, like, my Pinkerton episode, I'm like, gotta get Weezer on there because I have to get Weezer on everything.
Yeah.
Especially Pinkerton Weezer, because that was, like, my go-to album, so.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely their best album.
Like I said, sure. That one I just listened to all the time, so I had to get El Scorcho. I kind of think, well, as you say, they're more upbeat, but no, because I've got Torn and Creep and ones that are not so upbeat on there, so. But El Scorcho kind of kicks it off a little bit more upbeat on mine.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So from there, we go to Waiting Room by Fugazi. That came out like Christopher Walken.
Fugazi.
Fugazi.
Fugazi. I've actually been a fan of them for a really long time. And Waiting Room is probably their most popular song. And it's just that bass line. Man, God, yeah. I love that bass line. I just love bass in general. And yeah, that bass is good.
Oh yeah, it's really good.
And they've done it. They did a lot of like, you know, activism and stuff in the 90s, and they were definitely more punk than Enning. But they were, I mean, they're a really great band, and that's a really great song.
Yes, it is.
It came out in the 90s.
I think that's, like, the other thing, too, with the 90s, where a lot more bands were, like, involved in stuff than they are now.
Definitely. Yeah, and I know there's a few. There's quite a few that are, like, in the LGBT movement and non-binary stuff and the women's movement and stuff like that. I guess it's just kind of changed depending on the year.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Everybody has something to fight for, and sometimes right now women's movement is the big thing. Yeah. So appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
And there were a lot of, back in the 90s, there were a lot of punk groups that were very activists, like that were activists and very into, that's part of the whole punk scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole social activism.
Yeah.
Everything.
I mean, still just the rude boys that just, you know, don't take showers and smoke and are assholes to everyone. But then there's definitely the whole activism, like anarchy and, you know, people that they want to improve the world and they want attention to things. So I appreciate punk for that reason.
The real original social justice warriors that aren't like the ones now that just slip out and get offended about everything.
Exactly. Yes.
The ones that were doing it for good.
Yeah, exactly. To bring attention to things that a lot of people were just glossing over.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Which I think was like a lot of what happened in the 90s too.
Oh yeah. I think that kind of helped her who I am. Both of us, we grew up in the 90s.
Yep.
I think we're kind of like more, you know, not much for the status quo.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
I think growing up in the 90s, it's just kind of something that happens to people.
Yep. Exactly. Different than the millennials now. They're just entitled and have everything handed to them and expect everything.
How it's not just millennials, like a lot of baby boomers are super entitled.
Yes.
It kind of skipped us. I hope, maybe I am entitled and I don't realize it, but I'm trying not to be.
Yeah.
But maybe it just skipped generation.
That's how it works. Entitlement skips a generation.
Yes. We're going to go with that.
Yep. So my second pick was Got You Where I Want You by the Flies. Because I end up putting that on, like, every 90s playlist that I make.
Yeah. All right. I don't blame you. I like that song.
It's just one of those ones, too, where it's like an instant mood increaser. Right? I just hear it, and it's just, like, mellow and chill, and I'm like, yep, I'm in a good mood for the length of the song.
It's a good one. The Flies. Did they ever do anything else?
I don't think so. Like, there was a lot of one-hit wonders from the 90s, and I think that they were definitely on that list. Like, one-hit wonders, two-hit wonders kind of deal, and, you know, they had that movie, or the song for Disturbing Behavior, and I don't think, like, they ever did anything else.
No, I don't think, so I'm looking at Spotify, the Got You Where I Want You is the first and the second most popular song. They came out with an album in 2000.
Weird.
That was the last one.
Aw. They're probably still getting residuals from Got You Where I Want You.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it, right? Work really hard on one song that's really catchy and then just sit on your laurels for the rest of life.
Hey, why not?
Something else.
Probably like working at some coffee shop.
You're working at Starbucks.
Yep. I used to be in a band. And then everyone's like, yeah, me too. It's Starbucks.
Yeah, we're in Hollywood. Of course you were in a band.
We're all in bands.
We're the Starbucks band. Did you used to be an actor too?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so from there. I can't think of anything else picked up.
No, I can't think of it either. So we'll move on to yours. So like Honey from Fiona Apple, because you gotta have Fiona Apple on a 90s playlist, right?
Yeah, you do. Fiona Apple or Alanis Morissette.
Yep.
Jewel or something. But again, I was going about this like if I was making a playlist for a crush, and Slow Like Honey is definitely one of those seductive songs.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
I like totally thought about it, and then I'm like, oh my god, I remember that song.
Excellent. I love that whole album. Title is super good. It came out in 96. I just remember being blown away by Fiona Apple. I was like, she's only 19 and she's fucking awesome.
I know. She was super intense and just amazing.
Yeah. I was like, I want to be like her.
Exactly.
And all the boys in high school were like, oh my god, she's so hot.
Yeah.
Like the manic pixie dream girl type thing. But she was more brooding.
Yeah. Very brooding.
Yeah. I love it. Brooding songs when you're a teenager are perfect.
Oh, it's so perfect because all teenagers are like brooding.
Yeah, they're all just like, I hate everything. Life is awful. Everyone is the worst.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because like when I was recording last night for a drunk one, and I was going through my old diary, and it was probably when I was about, I think it was like 14 or whatever. So being like, you know, a 14-year-old crazy emo girl, and there's just stuff where it's like, no one's listening to me, and I'm in a world of deafs, and I'm the only one with a voice, and just, like, all this super, like, emotional stuff, and I'm just like, oh my god.
So poetic.
Like, I was 14 writing this, and it makes me want to barf now, where it's just, like, the most, like, emo, angsty, devastating stuff, and it's like, you're 14! Like, come on, it's not that bad. It's like, you know, in the last 20 years, you've gone through a lot more worse shit than, like, the boy you dated for 2 months breaking up with you.
Yeah. I had no clue. Like, if I could go back now.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? Enjoy this because you don't have responsibilities.
Enjoy this because you're hot and thin and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to pay bills. You don't have to do, like, take care of anything.
Yeah.
You're 14. What do you have to be upset about?
Right, exactly. This boy just doesn't like me, but I'm obsessed with him, you know? Something. I've always been kind of boy crazy.
Well,
so
that's how my diary was, because it's like, turn the page, like, here's the boys I like this year. And it's just like listening, like, it is about just 90% about dudes. Like, that's all it's about.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and I think a lot of high school boys did not realize that teenage girls were the same way. Like, they didn't realize it. They had no idea. If they had any idea, they would have been a lot more forward.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That was crazy.
It's probably for the best, honestly.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, mine was like, I went through all of these books, and I actually threw all of mine away when I moved to Asheville. I was just like, I'm done. I don't need to see. I was a whiny little teenager, and I don't need to see this anymore. But I remember just, like, all these drawings I would do, and I'd be like, Tasha loves Michael this time. She's in, you know, and, like, a week later, it'd be like, Tasha loves Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. That's all mine was like. It's like, I am now in grade 6. I love Jordan. And I'm like, you're in grade 6? You don't love this guy that you've never talked to.
I have no idea.
Oh, it's so crazy.
But Fiona Apple was very wise for her years, it seemed.
Yes, very much so.
That song is amazing. And I still listen to that album. Like,
it's great.
Over 20 years later, oh my god. That album is over 20 years old.
I know, it's kind of like barfy when you think back, like, that's when I, you know, when we were teenagers, it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. sad.
I know.
Moving on, what was your third song?
So my third song is Hook from Blues Traveler. I liked it better than Runaround. And I think it's funny that the lyrics are actually just lyrics about a song.
Yeah.
Like, that it's actually like lyrics about writing a song.
Oh, it's a song about a song.
Yeah, because they're talking about like the hook in a song. Yeah. But it's weird. Yeah, I have like, this clear memory of it, and I don't know if it's from a scene in like 90210 or the end of like one of those like made for TV teenage movies at the time, but it's like song hook playing while someone's like getting in their convertible and like driving away. And I have no idea what it's from because I know it's not the video. But it's like from the end of like, you know, 90210 or one of those after school whatever movies that they had at the time.
It was probably 90210.
Probably. They did have a lot of like mainstream music on their show.
Yeah, they did. My sister was obsessed with 90210.
I watched it for like the first few years, I think, and then I stopped watching it. And then it's one of those things where like I'll watch a show for a while and stop watching it, and then I hear that like it's ending, so then I'll like watch like the last season.
It's been a long time since I saw any of that. That show and Melrose Place were the big thing.
Yeah, see, I never watched Melrose Place. I watched 90210 a lot.
I didn't watch much of either of them. But I did watch a little more when I had 90210 than I did. I've never seen one episode of Melrose Place.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any either. I think there was like a crossover one with 90210. Something like that, okay. Where I think like some of the people were on it, maybe. Or they went to Melrose Place or something. It was weird. It was like one of the later seasons, I think.
Probably. They were like, let's jump the shark now.
Yeah.
Let's go to Melrose Place. We need money.
It would have been like one of the later seasons when Tiffany Amber Thiessen was on 90210, which was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, she was all goody-goody Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell. And then like this giant like slut on 90210 who was banging everybody.
I mean, you do you, girl. Good mm-hmm. for you.
It was just weird seeing like that because you're like, you know, grew up with Saved by the Bell and her being Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, okay.
Somebody grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
What was my fourth? I can't remember.
Your fourth was Stay in Bed, Forget the Rest by D-Light.
D-Light! I love D-Light. And they're mostly known for Grubus in the Heart.
They were like this awesome, interesting band that was different than everything else that was out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Dewdrops in the Garden. I got that when I was at Christian boarding school.
Nice.
Their girls had it. And then she started playing it. I was like, this is amazing. I need it. So I had my mother send it to me and I had to hide it because it was not appropriate for Christian boarding school.
Yeah, no
this
kidding.
This is Stay in Bed, Forget the Rest. Like it doesn't, it is definitely about sex.
Yeah.
It doesn't explicitly say it, but it's like, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. You know, like
yeah.
When you bite your bottom lip, I want to do backflips, kiss your belly button and check it. Good loving, like that's about sex.
Totally.
And I love that song, and I would totally have put this on a playlist for somebody I had a crush on. I really like D-Light though. They're actually a very good band that a lot of people never gave a chance because all they heard was Grubus in the Heart.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to get past that and hear like their other stuff.
It's still very upbeat, and it's, you know, definitely dancey and electronic and goofy, but it's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great, great band to work out to, or go running, or, you know, just like party band.
Yeah.
Party band.
Just a good fun band.
Yeah.
So my fourth song is Torn by Natalie Imbruglia. Because if you're a girl in the 90s, you listen to Torn.
You know what's funny is one of my favorite bands from the 90s, Edna Swap, actually wrote that song. And then Natalie Imbruglia covered it. That's actually a cover.
That's awesome. I don't think Edna she did anything else either.
I don't know. I probably not. Maybe. Maybe she went on to Christian music or something, like Amy Grant.
Oh, I remember Amy Grant.
It's Tender Tennessee Christmas.
I think my mom had her cassette tape.
My mother did as well, yes.
It was a requirement, I guess, eh?
I think so.
Moms in the 90s had to have the Amy Grant tape.
Yeah, and then I'd be like, I want Poe. I'm edgy.
I remember, God, I probably was like 10 or 11 when House of Pain, whatever that one with Jump Around and that came out. And like, my friend and I were both like, wanted to listen to it, but her parents were more like, no, I guess not as, I wouldn't say not as strict, but not paying attention as much as mine did. So they like bought the tape for her, no problem. And my parents didn't want to buy it for me because it was like, it had on there like, you know, parental advisory warning or whatever. So I told them, like, well, I need to buy, I'm buying it for my friend for birthday. And they're like, okay, well, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, her parents, that's fine. Like, I'm buying it for her birthday. And then I just kept it. And I remember listening to it, and there's the one song is like, put on your shit kickers and kick some shit. And I'd listen to it, but like every time they said, I'd like, turn it down a little bit.
Aw, that's so horrible.
And then being like, you know, 11 years old listening to House of Pain.
My mother got me Very Necessary on tape. I think 12.
Nice.
Like, here. So clearly my parents didn't care.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's good anyway.
Yep.
She was objective in other ways. I wasn't allowed off. My parents lived on a court. I wasn't allowed off the court until I started driving.
Oh, wow.
Unless I was with someone else. They were like, no, you can't leave the court. We don't want anyone to steal you. I'm like, nobody's going to steal me. Nobody wants to take me. I've tried.
I guess that was like a big fear in like the 80s though, right?
Yeah.
People definitely getting kidnapped.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
I don't know if it is so much anymore, but definitely back then.
Probably. It's just not as prominent in the news because, you know, there's school shootings.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Children getting gunned down by police in old parks for having fake toy guns.
For walking somewhere.
Yeah. You have a bag of Skittles! Get down! Get
down!
You're
out in public. Like, how dare you?
How dare you be seen in public?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because my husband's from a super small town. And we were there at Christmas one year, like, I don't know, 5-10 years ago. And he wanted to go out for a smoke. He didn't smoke in his mom's house. So he's like, we'll just go in the car and, like, drive around the block or whatever. And so he went out and drove around the block. And he's like, yeah, like, this cop was following me. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's 9 o'clock at night. Like, you're not allowed to be out driving around town. He's like, yeah, this cop was following me. I'm like, I don't believe you. So I got back in the car with him. They drove around. This freaking, like, cop pulls us over. He's like, oh, what are you guys doing out? I'm like, it's 9 o'clock. Like... We're not allowed out on the street. We're just driving around town. Like, I don't understand what the problem is.
I don't know.
We were suspicious because we're out at night.
Can you hear that plane land right now?
No.
Oh, that's good. I hope it doesn't come through on the recording. I was just like, that's really loud. Oh, God.
No, but you'll be fine.
What the hell? Why?
It was just so fucked up. Like, oh, no, you're driving around at night. You think we're casing the town? Like,
children.
You're not from here. What are you doing? Like, fuck off.
You're not our kid.
Yep. So from there, we'll go to yours. Jezebel by Boys to Men.
Oh, Boys to Men.
Oh, Boys to Men.
I love Boys to Men. And this one is like... You know, he sees a girl on the train and he's like, I don't know you well, but I'd like to.
Yeah.
And it's just a very, it's one of those songs that's just like, he's trying to romance her, you know, like, I just want to let you know that I'm on and I like you. You know, it's just very, I love it.
Yeah.
Boys to Men, I had a giant crush on Nathan Morris.
Nice.
The one with the glasses.
Yep.
I had a huge crush on him. So And I love Boys to Men, and Coolie High Harmony was an excellent album. And of course, when Boys to Men 2 came out, I was like, I must have it now.
Yeah. I remember listening to Boys to Men and Bell Biv DeVoe and all of them.
Yeah. Ooh, I went to Free Comic Book Day yesterday and got they had these cards, the Yo MTV Raps.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
And so I got some of the cards, and it was like MC Hammer and Ice. I got two Tone Lokes, and I got Bell Biv DeVoe.
That's amazing.
It was only a dollar. It was a very nostalgic, fun little thing just to have.
That's awesome. That's great for nostalgia. I'd be like, oh my god, MC Hammer.
First one, I was like, MC Hammer! Ice Cube, yeah!
It's so funny, like, seeing, like, Ice Cube and Ice-T now, where they're just, like, you know, Ice Cube's doing, like, the family movies and stuff, and Ice-T's on SVU, and, you know, they're these big, like, gangster rappers, and now they're just, like, vanilla, like, just bland.
I'm a really responsible dad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, good for them for being a good role model. But
it's just so funny. Like, it's like Snoop Dogg hanging out with Martha Stewart. Like, it's just bizarre.
Yeah. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Like,
how does this even happen? Why is Ice Cube doing, like, you know, Are We Done Yet and whatever movies? Like, what?
That motherfucker was in Friday.
Yeah. And fucking Ice-T, like, super hardcore. Now he's just, like, on SVU. Like,
yeah.
It's so weird.
I used to be a criminal. Now I catch this.
Yeah. Bum.
Oh man,
that's like my favorite gif, where it's just like Ice-T eating like a bowl of cereal or something and like dancing around. Fuck, I love that thing so much.
I love
it. Oh, Ice-T.
Have you ever seen the it's like the picture of a pitcher of Ice-T?
Yeah, with the ice cubes.
Ice cubes, and it's ice.
That's so
Ice-T's face in it. That always cracks me up. I know it's ridiculous.
It's so funny. I've
seen it. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but it still makes me laugh.
That's so great. Well, it's like the one time that I think Kat wanted to say, like, I've been saying that for years, but she said, Ice been saying that for years. So I made into a meme with, like, Ice-T, where it's like, Ice been saying that for years.
Yeah, when people do stuff like that, you can't let it go.
I end up making memes of, like, a lot of the stuff. It's just, like, spelling mistakes or whatever, because it's so funny.
Yeah. I love absurd humor.
Weird little in-jokes.
Yes.
So, from there, we'll go back to mine, which is, I had to get Wonderwall by Oasis on a mix list, because it's Oasis.
Yeah.
I was super into, like, Britpop in the 90s, like... Well, I've always been, like, obsessed with the UK, but, like, I had a super Britpop phase. And the funny thing was, like, I didn't really have a lot of, like, harder music. So I'd be, like, remember, like, getting mad and going to my room and slamming the door and, like, turning my music up loud, but it was Oasis. So it didn't really have, like, the same effect as anything.
No.
I'm like, I'm just going to crank Oasis really loud.
Ugh.
I'll show you.
This melody.
And then my dad's like, turn it up. Like... I will listen to that too.
Yeah, but see, I had like 9 Inch Nails, so I would just turn on my 9 Inch Nails and get all emo.
Yeah, mine was just Oasis.
Oasis,
which is funny because like I was a bigger fan of Blur than Oasis, but I just like clearly remember having Oasis and turning it up really loud. And again, it's like, you know, quintessential 90s song, Wonderwall.
Yeah. Definitely.
Gotta slip it on there.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, it's nostalgic.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, like, a lot of, you know, 90s songs, going back to them, like, yeah, they may not, like, hold up as far as, like, good music, some of them, but it's just the nostalgia factor, where if someone, like, you know, listening to it the first time now, they're like, that's not a very good song, and you're like, bitch, it's Oasis.
It's Oasis.
Yeah.
Liam Gallagher is God.
Exactly. Well, it's more like it's the nostalgia factor, right? So it's, you know, what you're doing at that time and the period of your life listening to it versus now. It's like, you know, this is background noise, but back then it was all a big deal.
I can say that a lot of those songs kind of make me sick now. Like, when I hear them, I'm just like, oh my god, I've heard this too much.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are a few where I'm just like, I love this song! I've been doing that a lot with the 80s, though.
Nice.
Like, I'm reverting to when I was even younger. Because at the radio station, there was a show on Friday, because I was there every Sunday because of the fun drive. And, there's a show that every fun drive, he picks a year and he plays songs from that year.
Oh, nice.
And he played Warrior.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think. It was 1984 was the year. That song came on. I was like, oh my god, I love this song.
It's a great song.
That's what I've been doing recently. I've just been reverting to the 80s.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I've been, like, down in a horrible 90s hole for, like, the last few months, where it's like, that's all I do is watch 90s movies and listen to 90s music and just
the whole nostalgia train,
so.
It happens. I do love the 90s. They were definitely an excellent era, so.
Well, it's funny. I remember it was some article online. I think it was, like, on Facebook or something, but it was how the music that you listen to when you're a teenager kind of forms, like, your taste in music or whatever. And it totally makes sense because, you know, being a teen in high school in the 90s, and then that kind of, like, forms your music and how it's always, like, that nostalgia for you, and it totally fits, so.
Yeah, definitely. And even if you evolve your music, your tastes probably are still going to be similar. They're going to be in that same sort of frame.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people, maybe not everyone. I know I've expanded my tastes a lot, but, you know, not everybody does. And
yeah,
that's fine.
Exactly. Like, I've always been like, I'll listen to anything, but, you know, if I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what the genre is. I like a song because I like a song.
Yeah. You like what you like. You can't help it.
Exactly.
That's just how it goes.
So your next song was Co-Pilot by Letters to Cleo.
Yes! I love Letters to Cleo.
Again, a great 90s song.
Yeah, and chick rock in the 90s was on point.
So good.
That one was, it's again, it's a perfect thing. Like, be my co-pilot.
Yep.
You look so good, but I like you, so be my co-pilot, please.
Yeah, exactly. Totally fits with everything else.
So, yeah, there's that. And then just Letters to Cleo. I loved all the chick rock in the 90s.
It was so good. There was definitely, like, a nice, like, mini uprising, I guess, of, like, really good chick rock then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, Veruca Salt and...
Oh, so good.
The Breeders. Mm-hmm. Which, actually, one of my other songs is from a member of the Breeders, like Luscious Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, all of that great. L7. Oh, man.
That's so good.
The Donnas. Hole, which, you know, I don't know how I feel about Hole.
Yeah, I can't really. I like Hole for like a little bit because I was still like, I was a huge Nirvana fan. And then I was like 13 when he died. So, you know, still kind of like too young to really get what was going on. But then I remember, like, as I got more into, like, I liked Hole for a bit, and then I was like, no, I'm not gonna support Courtney Love anymore.
That little bitch.
Yep. Pretty sure she killed him, so no. No more.
Thing that, you know, she was there maybe when he died, or, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't, who knows? There are some extenuating circumstances that make me suspicious.
I've always been on his side in that whole thing, so I'm just like, no, no more Hole. Not supporting you anymore, even though I used to like some.
They were definitely one of those bands that got really big in the 90s. Because chick rock! Yep. And then, of course, there's Garbage, which is
I was a huge fan of Garbage.
I love it.
Shirley Manson is the reason I dyed my hair red. So.
Yeah, probably. I mean, for me, I've always kind of had a red tinge to my hair.
My mom, like, had dyed her hair red for a bit, and then I remember listening to Garbage and just being, like, super obsessed with them, and I was, like, 14-ish the first time I dyed my hair, so it was, like, bright red.
Yeah, that's about the time I did it. I did it at my Christian boarding school, because I did all kinds of things at my Christian boarding school.
Just so funny, right? Like, the irony of it all.
Yeah. You guys sent me here, and I grew up.
And you're like, now I'm worse than I was. I'll show you.
Like, there were kids there that had been, like, addicted to heroin and shit, and I got sent there for having not straight A's.
Yeah, like, and you're like, okay, well, this is happening now.
Okay.
That's how you want to play it? Fine.
I'm pretty sure what I did was I dyed my hair bright red, because my natural color is auburn, so it's, like, a reddish brown.
Yeah.
But I dyed it, like, bright, like, cherry red.
Yeah, mine was, like, the same, because I remember some stupid kid in my grade 7 class was like, ooh, your hair's on fire. I'm like, yeah, it is. You're dumb.
Yeah. Face is on fire.
Yeah. How about you go back to licking that marker that you do in the corner? Don't worry about my hair.
Go sniff markers.
Well, he was like the dude that, because when there was those smelly markers.
Oh, yeah.
Like them, what, I don't know, Mr. Smell or whatever the fuck they were called.
Mr. Stinky.
Yeah, he would like lick them to see if they tasted like the flavor or like the smell. I'm like, they're not flavored.
God.
Then you tell me that my hair is on fire. You're super smart.
That poor kid. Like, I don't want to make fun of him, but, aw.
Well, he wasn't, like, special. He was just dumb.
Oh.
So don't feel too bad.
I'm sure he voted, if he was in the United States, he would have voted for Trump.
No, guarantee. Licking markers as he goes.
This one tastes like grape.
Yeah. This one tastes like burning.
Oh, so your last song. That's a good one. But your last... No, it's your second to last song.
Second to last song is Creep from Radiohead.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, I wasn't a huge Radiohead fan, but there was, like, definitely a few songs that definitely stuck out. And I think it was, like, around the time, like, after this, when there was, like, Paranoid Android and stuff. But Creep was definitely those ones that, you know, it stuck to me and I still listen to it. And it was, like, that weird video where everyone's just laying on the ground after him, and everyone's like, ooh, I wonder what he said to them. So they all lay on the ground, and it was like that whole conspiracy about what it could be. And...
he probably said, lay on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Lay down right now.
But, you know, it's one of those ones that just hits too, again, with like the lyrics, where it's like, I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo, you know?
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. It fit with the 90s.
Here. Oh, yeah. I still feel like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore. But yeah, I know the feeling.
I think we all do, so that's why we relate to it.
Definitely. Thanks, Tom York.
Yeah, exactly.
Helping us.
Your last one is Breeder Around You by Tanya Donnelly.
Yes, she was in the Breeders. And
so good.
That quenchable, that voice. Oh my god, I love her voice. This song is actually kind of like a smother, like, you know, I can't breathe around you, you can't breathe around me. It's like that kind of thing where you like somebody so much, but they're so bad for you.
Yep.
And
which again is like teenage love, right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it's adult love too. I know the feeling.
Yep.
I went through that not too long ago, so. Yeah, it's very relatable, and this song rocks.
It's so good.
It rocks. It's a good one to go out on, because it's just like, oh.
Yep.
A lot of her songs are really chill and kind of dreamy and wispy, but this one's like, no, I can't breathe around you. Ah! Fuck life!
Yep.
Be around you, but I also want to just drive away.
I love forever. like those songs too. It's like just the super intense ones.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of good ones like that in the 90s that are just like so intense. And I don't know if it's just again because being a teenager and they felt extra intense at the time.
Maybe. I don't know. I really do. I think the 90s was a very intense time in general.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and you think too, like all the stuff that was just happening, like the big technology boom with the internet and, you know, cell phones and all the technology just all coming at once and trying to go from, like, you know, I was actually just talking on the last one too, but how he started off with cassette tapes and he ended off with CDs in the same decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you went from your little Walkman tape mm-hmm. deck, you know. Yeah. Well, you went your boombox.
Yeah, boombox to Walkman.
Discman.
Yeah.
Like, it's just everything became more mobile, and that's when cell phones really started taking off, too, in the 90s.
Exactly. Everything was just, like, changing so much, and then trying to be, like, a teenager and keep up with it all.
Yeah. Trying to stay on trend, and, yeah, it was just very, it was an intense time in general, and there were a lot of racial tensions, and there was sort of political stuff going on, and, you know, race wars, and class wars, and it was a tumultuous time.
Yeah, getting with everything at once from every different side and trying to like figure out who you are among all that.
Yeah, well, that's tough.
Yeah,
but I think we've succeeded. We did it.
Yeah, we survived.
We win.
So my last song was good old Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys. You gotta put the Beastie Boys on the 90s list.
It's one of those things where I wasn't a huge fan, but I was like fan enough where, you know, I think I had the CD that Sabotage was on.
Yeah.
And it may have had like one of the other singles ones from the ones before that. Like, I remember a little bit, but, you know, I was a big enough fan then, and then still now going back, and it's just, you know, every once in a while I get in those feelings where I'm like, I'm going to be obsessed and listen to like all Beastie Boys stuff now for like a whole day. So going back listening to that.
But Josh, and that's an intense one too. That's a good one to end with.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Pumps you up and it's like, oh.
And the video is hilarious.
Yes, I love that video. I always love video where they're all dressed up running around.
Their stupid fake mustaches.
Ah, they're the best.
I think, though, like, probably my favorite Beastie Boys song is still Intergalactic, but I had that as a ringtone for a really long time.
Good one.
My first ever custom ringtone that I had was 96 Quite Bitter Beans by CKY.
I do not know that.
Because I had, like, this really good, like, guitar part right at the beginning, so, I mean, finding, like, a ringtone, especially, like, on back in, like, the good old Nokia days, where it's like, you know, your phone's only going to ring for a little bit, you're not going to listen to the whole song, so you want something that has, like, good music for the first bit. And it got to the point where, like, every time for a few years when I get a new phone, I'd keep that my ringtone. So now when I hear it, it's just, like, weird to listen to, because it sounds like it makes me think that my phone's going to ring. Like, I associate it with that.
That makes sense. The first one that I remember having was the Dracula thing. And when I could actually start using like songs, it was a David Bowie song.
Oh, nice. And
it was Life on Mars.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah. I just liked the sound of it and it worked, so.
But
I had custom ringtones, so my mother, the ringtone for her was Ball and Chain for a while.
Nice.
And then it was Under Pressure, because I love my mom, but she was very
The only custom one I have now is when my husband calls, it's the Harley and Joker song from like one of the anime ones, but it's like setting the woods on fire. Right now, my ringtone is the IT Crowd theme song.
Nice. Mine is a jazz song that has been played on Community, like, as a running joke for years.
Oh, nice.
Nobody knows it. Nobody recognizes it. They're just like, oh, that's a cool song. I'm like, yeah, you don't understand.
Aw, Community.
I know. I love that show.
I love Troy. I actually have, like, a Troy and Abed t-shirt.
Oh, Troy and Abed. Yes, I love it.
Which is, like, so funny seeing, like, Donald Glover, like, seeing him on me first and then listening to like Childish Gambino, I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, I mean, that's good though. And then
I'm a big fan.
I saw the trailer because I went to Infinity War yesterday, and saw the trailer for the Solo.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? He's probably the only person I would have been okay with playing.
Yeah.
You know, aside from Bill D. Williams, like, I think he's gonna kill it.
He's so talented in everything.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for being on to talk fun 90s mixtape music.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tina's your mixtape minx.
I am. That's what brand.
So, speaking of which, where can people find you online?
Oh, I am on the show Cooter and Minx. We have a website, cooterandminx.com. And we're on Twitter at Cooter and Minx. I'm also on Twitter at Tape Minx. You can find me and tell me how awesome or awful I am, and I'm okay with it.
And listen to fun playlists on Cooter and Minx themed playlists.
Huge playlists and very inappropriate humor.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what the internet's for, right? Music and inappropriate humor. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Little Geek Lost. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Cyanide with 2 N's. The extra N is for extra awesome, as well as the show feed at Little Geek Lost. And you can check out the website, littlegeeklost.com, for all my show info, my blogs, my podcast, anything else that I feel like posting. As well, the show is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Leave a rating and review, and I will read it on a future show. And again, thanks for tuning in.